The mind often appears as an internal landscape, continually shaping experience in ways we rarely notice. It crafts quiet narratives beneath our awareness, gently influencing perceptions, emotions, and responses. Ancient Stoic philosophers, Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, Epictetus, observed this inner world with remarkable care, recognizing that life's most profound struggles are rarely external. Instead, they saw clearly how internal interpretations and assumptions subtly color reality, making it feel either overwhelming or manageable. These philosophers turned their attention inward, not to change the world itself, but to better understand how their own minds shaped their experience of it. Today, in a world characterized by endless distractions and relentless change, this ancient insight resonates deeply. People frequently search outwardly for solutions to anxiety, dissatisfaction, or uncertainty, attributing these struggles to external circumstances or events beyond their control. Yet, the Stoics suggested a different, quieter approach, one that begins internally, carefully examining perceptions and interpretations rather than seeking constant control over external conditions. They believed that emotional disturbances arise not from reality itself, but from the meanings assigned to it by the mind. Marcus Aurelius observed this consistently, reminding himself in moments of private reflection that external events hold no inherent power to harm or uplift. Their significance comes solely from how they are interpreted. Seneca, similarly reflective, noticed that suffering often arises more from imagined concerns than real hardships. He found that many anxieties, when examined closely, dissolve into far less threatening scenarios than initially anticipated. He did not advocate suppression of fear or doubt, but recommended thoughtful observation, seeing clearly how easily the mind constructs obstacles out of uncertainties, and how readily imagined fears overshadow reality. For Seneca, the disciplined mind was one that carefully discerned the difference between genuine threats and imagined anxieties, gently guiding perception back toward clarity whenever it began to drift into confusion or distortion. Epictetus, whose early life included the harsh realities of slavery, deepened this insight even further. He understood firsthand how external conditions, no matter how severe, hold limited power compared to the mind's internal response. Epictetus realized that true freedom was internal, independent of external circumstance, achievable through careful attention and patient examination of one's internal narratives. He viewed the mind as either a source of liberation or a silent prison, depending entirely upon the interpretations and beliefs it embraced. His teachings encouraged patient self-awareness rather than aggressive resistance, gently highlighting how internal perspectives shape every experience. These insights remain strikingly relevant today. Modern life continuously presents choices, opportunities, and uncertainties, each quietly demanding our attention. The Stoics remind us that true stability is not about achieving control over every external situation, but rather cultivating a thoughtful awareness of internal responses. Marcus Aurelius practiced this awareness through consistent reflection, observing how internal thoughts and narratives subtly dictated his emotional state. He recognized clearly that life's uncertainties were inevitable, yet internal clarity and calm remained consistently available through disciplined observation. For the Stoics, mastering the mind was never about forceful control or eliminating emotions. It was about patient observation, thoughtful discernment, and careful guidance of internal narratives. They saw emotional steadiness not as a destination, but as an ongoing practice, always unfolding, continuously refined through attentive self-awareness. Marcus Aurelius referred to this disciplined mind as an internal refuge, resilient in the face of external turbulence. He knew that peace was not granted externally, rather it emerged naturally through gentle yet persistent internal reflection. In the end, the Stoics did not offer final answers or rigid instructions. Instead, they provided quiet invitations toward deeper self-understanding, reminding us that experience is shaped far more by internal perceptions than by external realities. Their philosophy encourages us to observe patiently, reflect thoughtfully, and choose carefully, navigating life's inevitable uncertainties with inner clarity rather than external control. In this ongoing practice lies the possibility of genuine stability, available within, quietly awaiting our attentive exploration. There is a natural tendency to seek the source of our struggles outside ourselves, in circumstances, other people, or events beyond our control. It seems simpler, more comforting even, to attribute frustrations or difficulties to external conditions rather than examining the internal landscape. Yet, the Stoics, through careful reflection, observed something fundamentally different. Marcus Aurelius, despite the heavy responsibilities of ruling an empire, rarely placed blame for his anxieties or frustrations on external events. Instead, he consistently explored the subtle ways in which his own mind shaped his experiences. He recognized that the world itself carried no inherent capacity to harm or uplift. It was his interpretations, the internal narrative he constructed around each event, that determined whether something felt overwhelming or manageable. Seneca echoed this insight, noting how often suffering arises not directly from circumstances, but from our imagination, amplifying their significance. Small inconveniences or misunderstandings, trivial in isolation, become sources of prolonged anxiety only through internal narratives we create around them. Seneca urged thoughtful observation of these internal stories, recommending careful discernment rather than immediate reaction. He understood clearly that external events are rarely as damaging as our reactions portray them to be, and encouraged continuous, patient self-awareness rather than reflexive blame of external forces. Epictetus, who personally endured hardship and captivity, shared a similar perspective. He experienced directly how external adversity, no matter how severe, holds little power without internal consent. Epictetus believed that the true source of freedom and suffering alike resides within one's perceptions and judgments. He saw that an undisciplined mind easily creates its own internal prison, shaped by interpretations rooted in fear, resentment, or imagined inadequacies. Epictetus advocated careful examination of these internal narratives, emphasizing a patient and thoughtful recognition of how subtly yet powerfully the mind determines emotional experience. Today, amidst the constant pressures and rapid shifts of modern life, this understanding continues to resonate deeply. People often seek external solutions to internal turmoil, assuming circumstances must change before internal peace can emerge. Yet, as the Stoics consistently observed, true clarity rarely arises from external conditions alone. It emerges gradually from careful and consistent attention to internal reactions. Marcus Aurelius practiced daily reflections, patiently examining how each perception and interpretation shaped his emotional reality, recognizing that the power to respond calmly and clearly was always within his grasp, regardless of external chaos. The Stoics did not suggest ignoring reality or suppressing emotions. Rather, they proposed a practice of ongoing internal attentiveness, thoughtfully observing the subtle narratives the mind creates around each experience. They emphasized discernment, distinguishing clearly between external events and the internal reactions those events provoke. By recognizing this distinction, individuals gain the opportunity to respond intentionally rather than reactively, shaping their experiences with deliberate care instead of passive acceptance. Ultimately, the Stoics remind us that the true challenges we face lie within rather than without. External circumstances will inevitably shift and change, often unpredictably. But the capacity to navigate life's uncertainties with calm clarity is consistently accessible through careful internal observation. In patiently examining perceptions and quietly reshaping internal narratives, a lasting form of stability emerges, an inner steadiness that external events can rarely disrupt and which remains continuously available through thoughtful self-awareness. The mind holds the unique capacity to become either our greatest ally or our most challenging obstacle, shaping experience from within, often without our immediate awareness. Marcus Aurelius recognized this deeply, not from theoretical study alone, but from quiet introspection amid the constant pressures of leadership. He observed how thoughts, left unnoticed, could subtly guide his emotions and decisions, either clarifying or distorting his perception of reality. His private writings reveal careful attention to the internal dialogue that quietly dictated his emotional landscape, gently steering his actions in ways that external events alone never could. Seneca similarly perceived this internal duality, carefully noting how internal interpretations quietly influence emotional responses more profoundly than external reality itself. He saw the mind as capable of both constructing barriers and creating clarity, depending entirely upon its internal narratives. Small frustrations or minor disappointments became significant not because of their inherent nature, but through the interpretations and assumptions applied to them. Seneca encouraged thoughtful observation rather than forceful control, recognizing that the mind, when patiently and attentively guided, naturally tends toward clarity rather than confusion. Epictetus, drawing from personal experience with profound adversity, deepened this insight further. He understood firsthand how the mind quietly shapes emotional reality through the subtle interpretations it attaches to external events. He noticed how readily imagined inadequacies or anticipated failures could quietly undermine confidence, even in situations objectively favorable. Epictetus taught that genuine strength arises not from aggressively suppressing negative thoughts, but through patient, reflective observation, gently distinguishing between genuine limitations and imagined obstacles, and gradually reshaping the internal narrative to support clarity and resilience. This philosophical understanding remains profoundly relevant in contemporary life, where the mind often grapples with continuous distractions, anxieties, and competing demands. In such an environment, it is easy for internal dialogue to subtly amplify uncertainty, quietly eroding confidence and clouding judgment. Yet the Stoics remind us that internal clarity emerges naturally from thoughtful self-awareness rather than forceful control. Marcus Aurelius practiced this gentle discipline through daily reflection, patiently observing how thoughts shaped his emotional state, carefully noticing when internal narratives drifted toward exaggeration or unnecessary negativity. For the Stoics, discipline of mind was never about rigid suppression or denial of emotion. Instead, it was about cultivating ongoing, attentive observation, recognizing patterns, noticing tendencies, and intentionally guiding thoughts toward clearer perspectives. Seneca advocated a similar approach, emphasizing gentle discernment over impulsive reaction, encouraging continuous, patient self-awareness as a method of internal refinement. He saw emotional steadiness as an ongoing practice rather than a fixed state, always available through careful and consistent observation of one's internal narratives. Ultimately, the Stoics perceived mastery of the mind not as forceful control, but as patient, reflective understanding. They recognized that each thought subtly shapes perception, influencing emotional experience in ways far deeper than external circumstances alone. Through ongoing attentiveness, internal narratives become clearer, more aligned with reality, and less distorted by imagined fears or insecurities. This practice offers a quiet, continuous invitation toward greater self-awareness, gently guiding perception toward clarity and resilience. In carefully cultivating this internal discipline, individuals gain a subtle yet profound capacity to shape their experiences, steadily transforming the mind into an ally rather than an obstacle. Fear often exists as a projection of the imagination, creating scenarios far more vivid and overwhelming than reality itself tends to deliver. Marcus Aurelius observed this carefully, noting in his private reflections how anticipated troubles frequently surpassed any actual difficulty he faced. His insight was not about denying fear or dismissing genuine concerns. Rather, he patiently recognized how easily the mind magnifies uncertainties, transforming them into imagined threats that rarely materialize. By carefully observing these internal constructions, Marcus found clarity and calmness, not through forceful suppression of anxiety, but through the simple practice of discerning reality from imagination. Seneca similarly recognized that anxiety arises less from concrete experiences and more from the mind's propensity to imagine worst-case scenarios. He noted how the mind often enlarges minor uncertainties, converting them into seemingly inevitable catastrophes. Seneca advocated thoughtful reflection rather than impulsive reactions to fear, carefully encouraging the examination of these imagined anxieties to assess their validity. By distinguishing genuine concerns from imagined fears, he discovered a natural reduction of anxiety, not through rigid control, but through patient understanding and attentive observation. Epictetus, who personally faced intense adversity, understood fear from direct experience. Yet, even under difficult circumstances, he discerned clearly how fear often arises internally, shaped primarily by anticipated outcomes rather than present reality. Epictetus taught that genuine resilience emerges not from resisting fear aggressively, but from carefully examining it, observing how the mind amplifies uncertainty and gently questioning its assumptions. His approach emphasized attentive discernment, patiently separating imagined threats from tangible concerns, guiding the mind gradually toward clarity and calmness. In today's world, this Stoic insight continues to hold profound relevance. Modern life is filled with uncertainties, career pressures, social expectations, unpredictable changes, each offering ample opportunity for anxiety to arise. Yet the Stoics remind us that these fears are rarely reflective of reality itself. Instead, they are often products of internal narratives that subtly transform ambiguity into imagined dangers. Through patient observation of these anxieties, individuals discover their temporary nature, noticing how many imagined fears dissolve under careful examination. Marcus Aurelius regularly practiced this internal reflection, observing anxieties without immediately accepting them as accurate representations of reality. Instead, he patiently explored each fear, noticing how few were genuinely threatening upon closer inspection. Seneca similarly approached fear as something to be gently questioned rather than forcibly eliminated. encouraging attentive self-awareness to discern whether anxieties were rooted in objective concerns or exaggerated imaginations. The Stoics offered not a formula for eliminating fear entirely, but a method for carefully understanding its origin. They recognized anxiety as a natural human response, yet one that can be thoughtfully managed rather than passively accepted. Epictetus saw clearly how internal anxieties, when attentively observed, naturally diminish in intensity. By patiently examining imagined fears, individuals gradually uncover a deeper resilience, shaped not by external certainty, but by internal clarity. Ultimately, fear loses its power not through aggressive resistance, but through attentive observation. The Stoics gently remind us that anxiety, while inevitable, rarely reflects the true nature of our circumstances. Through thoughtful self-awareness, imagined fears become clearer and less influential, allowing genuine concerns to be addressed with clarity rather than panic. This internal discipline does not promise absolute freedom from fear, but it offers something perhaps more valuable, a patient practice of self-understanding, quietly reshaping emotional experience from within. Doubt has a subtle yet profound ability to shape experience, influencing decisions with quiet persistence, often without our conscious awareness. Marcus Aurelius understood that hesitation, while appearing harmless at first, gradually limits possibilities, silently narrowing the scope of action until opportunities vanish unnoticed. He reflected carefully upon this internal phenomenon, noting that prolonged indecision often carries greater costs than decisive action, even when such action is taken without complete certainty. Marcus reminded himself frequently that uncertainty is an inherent part of life, and that decisive engagement, thoughtfully undertaken, usually carries less regret than continuous hesitation. Seneca similarly perceived hesitation as a quiet thief of opportunities, recognizing that while careful consideration is valuable, perpetual indecision silently closes doors that rarely reopen. He observed that life's opportunities are fleeting and often do not wait patiently for absolute clarity. Seneca advocated deliberate reflection balanced with timely action, cautioning against hesitation prolonged to the point of paralysis. His writings emphasized a thoughtful discernment of when to pause and reflect, and when to move forward decisively despite uncertainty. Epictetus examined doubt from a slightly different angle, noticing how internal uncertainty often stems not from external reality, but from imagined limitations. He realized that hesitation frequently arises out of a quiet internal narrative rooted in insecurity or self-doubt rather than actual obstacles. Epictetus understood clearly how the mind subtly amplifies perceived inadequacies, creating hesitation even when circumstances objectively favor action. He gently encouraged his students to recognize these internal barriers, patiently questioning their validity rather than passively accepting them as true limitations. In modern life, this subtle influence of doubt remains strongly present. Individuals today face countless opportunities, career paths, relationships, personal growth, all accompanied by inherent uncertainty. Often, hesitation appears as cautious prudence, yet when left unexamined, it quietly restricts meaningful action, causing potential avenues for growth to close unnoticed. The Stoics remind us that uncertainty is natural, but that prolonged indecision rarely brings clarity. It merely extends ambiguity, compounding anxiety rather than resolving it. Marcus Aurelius practiced daily reflection to counterbalance doubt's silent influence. He did not aim to eliminate uncertainty, recognizing that absolute clarity was unattainable. Instead, he thoughtfully guided himself toward action, understanding that decisive steps taken amidst uncertainty typically provided greater satisfaction than perpetual indecision. Seneca similarly encouraged careful discernment paired with timely decisiveness, noting that the cost of missed opportunities often exceeds the risk inherent in action. The Stoics believed decisiveness need not be impulsive or reckless. Rather, it could be measured, deliberate, yet confident. They advocated patient self-awareness, gently recognizing the internal tendency toward unnecessary hesitation and carefully observing its impact on decisions. Epictetus taught that overcoming doubt involved patiently examining internal narratives, differentiating genuine caution from imagined inadequacy, and gradually reshaping perception to support confident action. Ultimately, the Stoics did not view doubt as inherently negative. They understood it as a natural aspect of decision-making. Their philosophy encourages a thoughtful balance, carefully acknowledging uncertainty without becoming paralyzed by it. Through patient observation and intentional action, doubt's subtle grip gradually weakens, allowing a clearer perception of possibilities and a steadier path toward meaningful progress. This internal discipline gently cultivates decisiveness, not by eliminating uncertainty, but by thoughtfully navigating through it, creating space for confident action, despite life's inherent unpredictability. Actions define character more than intentions ever could. The Stoics understood this fundamental truth, not as a rigid rule, but as an observation of human nature. Marcus Aurelius reflected frequently on the gap between thought and action, reminding himself that a person is not what they plan, wish, or say, but what they consistently do. He observed how easy it is to make internal promises, to intend discipline, to imagine a life of virtue, yet fail to translate those thoughts into lived experience. To him, the true measure of self-respect was not found in words, but in the quiet, steady alignment of action with principle. Seneca expanded upon this idea, noting how often individuals convince themselves of their own resolve while continually delaying real effort. He saw that intentions alone provide comfort but rarely produce transformation. He cautioned against the habit of self-deception, where a person believes that merely recognizing the right path is equivalent to walking it. Seneca advocated for an unwavering commitment to action, emphasizing that the only meaningful self-assessment comes from behavior, not from unfulfilled aspirations. He recognized that discipline, integrity, and personal growth arise not from abstract contemplation, but from the repeated practice of living by one's values. Epictetus approached this truth with striking clarity. To him, self-trust was built not through internal reassurance, but through lived consistency. He observed that people often seek confidence in words, convincing themselves of their own capabilities without ever putting them to the test. Yet he knew that true self-belief does not emerge from theory. It is forged through effort, through the daily practice of aligning thought with action. Epictetus understood that each time a person neglects to follow through on their own intentions, they weaken their trust in themselves. Conversely, every act of discipline, no matter how small, reinforces an internal foundation of strength and reliability. In modern life, this challenge remains ever present. It is easy to make commitments in thought, to promise oneself new habits, greater focus, improved discipline, only to watch these intentions dissolve in the face of distraction or inertia. The Stoics remind us that change does not come from intention alone, nor from waiting for the perfect conditions to begin. Progress arises only from doing, from steady, deliberate effort that turns vague aspirations into concrete reality. Marcus Aurelius recognized that the mind will always offer reasons to delay, excuses that make inaction seem reasonable. He countered this tendency with a simple realization. Life is passing, and there is no future moment more ideal for action than the present. Seneca reinforced this perspective, warning against the illusion of infinite time, reminding himself that hesitation steals not just opportunity, but life itself. Epictetus, ever direct, insisted that self-respect is built one action at a time, and that without action, even the most virtuous thoughts remain meaningless. The Stoics did not believe in sudden transformation, but in steady refinement through practice. They knew that trust in oneself is not granted, it is earned. Through consistent effort, through the daily choice to act rather than delay, a person gradually becomes what they intend to be. In the end, identity is not shaped by what one hopes or promises, but by what one repeatedly does. And in this practice of action, however small, the foundation of true self-respect is laid. Relying on external rescue is an illusion the Stoics warned against, not because help is never available, but because waiting for it strips away the agency to shape one's own life. Marcus Aurelius reflected on this often, reminding himself that no one is responsible for his character, choices, or resilience but himself. He recognized that while fortune may shift and others may assist, true strength can only come from within. To depend on external circumstances for change is to surrender control to forces that are unpredictable, indifferent, and ever-changing. He saw clearly that waiting for someone or something to intervene is not just a delay in action, but a quiet surrender of one's own potential. Seneca approached this reality with his characteristic directness, observing how people often place their hopes in external circumstances, believing that a better opportunity, a stroke of luck, or the right guidance will suddenly transform their lives. Yet, he warned against this passive mindset, seeing it as a quiet abdication of responsibility. Seneca believed that the only real path to improvement was through deliberate effort, not wishful thinking. He saw that those who wait for ideal conditions to act often find themselves waiting indefinitely, trapped in the expectation that life itself will provide clarity before they must take decisive steps forward. Epictetus, who had no external savior in his early life, understood this truth at its deepest level. Born into slavery, he knew firsthand that circumstances could be cruel and unfair, yet he refused to see himself as a victim of fate. His philosophy was built on the firm conviction that while external realities may not always be within one's power, the way one responds to them always is. He taught that looking to others for salvation, whether in the form of validation, guidance, or opportunity, was to relinquish the ability to define one's own course. Strength, he insisted, is not something granted. It is something built, shaped through discipline, through action, through the refusal to passively wait for a life one must create. This perspective remains strikingly relevant. In a world filled with distractions and endless comparisons, it is easy to believe that change will come from an external shift, a new job, a different city, a more favorable set of circumstances. Yet the Stoics remind us that transformation is not a product of conditions, but of decisions. Marcus Aurelius knew that waiting for inspiration, for the perfect timing, for an external push, is merely a form of delay. Seneca understood that no one arrives to grant us the life we imagine. Only action brings it into being. Epictetus lived this truth, demonstrating that self-reliance is not about isolation, but about refusing to place one's fate in the hands of others. The Stoics did not suggest rejecting help when it comes, nor did they believe in a harsh independence that denies human connection. Rather, They emphasize that waiting passively for change is to waste the one thing always within reach, choice. Strength is not developed in moments of ease, but in the continuous decision to act despite difficulty. Each moment presents an opportunity to take responsibility, to stop looking outward for permission to begin, and instead to move forward with purpose. The path is always open, not waiting to be given, but waiting to be taken. Change carries discomfort, yet remaining unchanged brings a far deeper burden. The Stoics understood this tension well, not as an abstract philosophical dilemma, but as a fundamental truth of human experience. Marcus Aurelius reflected often on the nature of transformation, reminding himself that growth is rarely without struggle, yet stagnation brings its own quiet suffering. He saw that resisting change does not preserve stability, it merely prolongs discomfort, trapping the mind in a cycle of hesitation. To avoid change is not to remain safe, but to remain stuck, burdened by the weight of what no longer serves. Seneca observed a similar reality, noting that people often endure great unhappiness simply because it's familiar. The discomfort of remaining in a limiting situation feels, in some ways, easier to bear than the uncertainty of stepping into something unknown. He recognized how fear of transition keeps many tethered to circumstances that no longer align with their potential. Yet, he argued, while change brings difficulty, refusing to evolve leads to a more subtle, persistent form of suffering, one that lingers beneath the surface, growing heavier over time. Epictetus approached this idea from a deeply personal understanding. Having lived through conditions beyond his control, he knew that adaptation was not optional, but necessary. He saw that resisting transformation only intensifies hardship, while embracing it allows for movement, however gradual, towards something better. He did not deny the discomfort that comes with change, but he recognized that enduring the pain of staying the same is often far worse. In his teachings, he encouraged the practice of seeing transition not as something to fear, but as an opportunity to refine one's character, to shape one's circumstances rather than be shaped by them. This perspective remains profoundly relevant. In modern life, the tendency to avoid discomfort often leads to prolonged dissatisfaction, a career that no longer inspires, a routine that no longer fulfills, a way of thinking that no longer serves. Yet the fear of stepping into the unknown keeps many in place, hoping that change will become easier with time. The Stoics remind us that this waiting is an illusion. Growth does not happen when fear disappears. It happens when action is taken despite it. Marcus Aurelius practiced this mindset, continually reminding himself that hesitation only prolongs suffering. Seneca challenged the belief that one must feel ready before moving forward, knowing that waiting for certainty often leads to inaction. Epictetus understood that transformation is not about seeking comfort, but about embracing the process of becoming, trusting that the temporary discomfort of change is far lighter than the lasting burden of stagnation. The Stoics did not dismiss the reality of fear, nor did they suggest that change should be forced or rushed. Instead, they encouraged a thoughtful approach, one that acknowledges discomfort yet refuses to be paralyzed by it. They saw transition as a necessary part of a meaningful life, not as something to resist, but as something to engage with intentionally. In stepping forward, even when uncertainty remains, there is freedom. In embracing the process of change, one finds not just movement, but growth. Complaining offers momentary relief, yet it quietly reinforces powerlessness. The Stoics saw this clearly, not as a moral failing, but as an ineffective way of engaging with reality. Marcus Aurelius often reflected on how dwelling on misfortune or injustice served no purpose beyond deepening frustration. He understood that lamenting circumstances changes nothing, while action, however small, creates movement. He reminded himself repeatedly that external events hold no real authority over one's inner state unless granted permission. To focus on grievances is to surrender agency. To direct attention toward what can be shaped is to reclaim it. Seneca observed how habitual complaint traps individuals in cycles of discontent. He noted that those who dwell on misfortunes often reinforce their own suffering, not because their hardships are insurmountable, but because their focus remains fixed on what is outside their control. He saw clearly that adversity, though inevitable, is made heavier by resistance. Complaining, he argued, is less about the external world and more about the internal perspective, one that chooses either to fixate on obstacles or to navigate them. He encouraged shifting energy away from lamentation and toward deliberate response, recognizing that every challenge carries an opportunity to act with clarity and resolve. Epictetus approached this idea with characteristic directness. He understood that to dwell on what is unfair, unjust, or beyond reach is to hand over control to circumstances. He saw clearly that complaints do not change the external world, but they do shape the individual, diminishing resilience, reinforcing helplessness, and distracting from what remains possible. For Epictetus, the key was not to ignore difficulties, but to engage with them thoughtfully, turning attention toward what could be done rather than lingering on what could not. This insight remains deeply relevant in a world that often rewards outrage and encourages frustration. Modern life presents no shortage of reasons to complain. Social injustices, personal setbacks, daily inconveniences. Yet the Stoics remind us that constant focus on grievances serves only to prolong distress. Complaints may invite sympathy or validation, but they rarely lead to solutions. What alters circumstances, or at the very least one's experience of them, is action. Marcus Aurelius returned to this understanding time and again, recognizing that peace is not found in demanding a different reality, but in engaging with the one that exists. Seneca urged his readers to recognize how much energy is wasted in resentment, energy that could instead be directed toward meaningful effort. Epictetus, unwavering in his philosophy, saw every moment spent in complaint as a moment lost, one that could have been used to build, to adapt, to move forward. The Stoics did not advocate passive acceptance of hardship, nor did they suggest ignoring injustice. Rather, they proposed a shift in perspective, away from resentment and toward response, away from blame and toward responsibility. They recognized that while hardship is often beyond one's control, the way it is met remains a choice. And in that choice lies the difference between frustration and resilience, stagnation and progress. The mind, when left undisciplined, becomes its own master, dictating emotions, reactions, and perceptions without restraint. The Stoics understood that true freedom is not found in external circumstances, but in the ability to govern one's own thoughts. Marcus Aurelius reflected on this constantly, recognizing how easily the mind, when untrained, succumbs to impulses, anxieties, and fleeting emotions. He observed that without deliberate attention, thoughts take control, leading to unnecessary suffering, exaggerated fears, and misplaced priorities. To him, mastery over the mind was not about suppression, but about guidance, training the inner world to respond with clarity rather than react impulsively to external events. Seneca, in his writings, emphasized that without self-discipline, the mind is at the mercy of whatever forces pull at it. Desires, frustrations, fears, and external influences. He noted how often people seek control over external matters while neglecting the one thing truly within their grasp, their own perception. To allow the mind to wander without reflection is to hand over authority to every passing thought, every external pressure. He saw self-discipline not as a restriction, but as a form of internal liberation, a way of shaping experience rather than being shaped by it. Epictetus, whose philosophy was grounded in personal hardship, viewed mental discipline as the foundation of all resilience. He understood that without conscious control, the mind becomes a source of instability, reacting to every perceived slight, every moment of discomfort, every imagined threat. He taught that true strength comes from the ability to observe thoughts without immediately identifying with them, to pause before reacting, and to choose responses with intention rather than impulse. For Epictetus, control over the mind was not about forcefully resisting emotions, but about creating enough awareness to recognize them as transient, passing, and ultimately within one's ability to manage. This insight remains deeply relevant in modern life, where distractions are abundant, emotions are constantly triggered, and external pressures demand immediate reactions. The Stoics remind us that without careful attention, the mind will dictate experience rather than serve as a tool for navigating it. The person who does not master their own thoughts finds themselves pulled in every direction, reacting to circumstances rather than shaping them, feeling at the mercy of emotions rather than engaging with them intentionally. Marcus Aurelius practiced this internal discipline by observing his own thought patterns, questioning whether they served him or led him toward unnecessary distress. Seneca, too, emphasized reflection as a method of refining perception, reminding himself that most frustrations arise not from events, but from how they are interpreted. Epictetus, ever direct, taught that the mind, when properly trained, becomes the source of stability, allowing a person to engage with the world from a place of strength rather than reactivity. The Stoics did not see self-discipline as suppression, nor did they advocate for detachment from emotion. Instead, they proposed awareness, the ability to notice thoughts without becoming controlled by them, to respond rather than react. They understood that the mind, left unchecked, creates suffering where none needs to exist. But when guided with patience and clarity, it becomes the source of resilience, equanimity, and genuine freedom. Trust is not something that can be claimed. It must be demonstrated, first to oneself, then to others. The Stoics understood this well, recognizing that integrity is not built on words or intentions, but on action, repeated consistently over time. Marcus Aurelius reflected often on the idea that self-respect is earned through the quiet fulfillment of one's own commitments. He observed how easily people make promises to themselves, vows to change, to improve, to act with discipline, yet fail to follow through. To him, this internal inconsistency was more damaging than external failure, for it eroded the very foundation upon which self-trust is built. Seneca examined this idea further, noting that a person who constantly breaks their own commitments slowly loses confidence in themselves. He saw that trust is not merely an agreement between individuals, but something deeply personal, an unspoken contract with oneself. Every time an intention is abandoned, every time an excuse replaces effort, this internal trust is weakened. Seneca did not advocate harsh self-judgment, but rather an honest acknowledgement of how one's actions align with one's values. He believed that true confidence arises not from external validation, but from the quiet knowledge that one does what they say they will do. Epictetus ever direct in his philosophy, framed trust as a matter of character, not reputation. He understood that external recognition means little if a person cannot rely on themselves in moments of challenge. He saw clearly that self-respect is forged through discipline, through small, consistent acts of integrity, rather than through occasional grand gestures. To Epictetus, a person who keeps their word, especially to themselves, develops an inner strength that external circumstances cannot shake. He urged his students to focus not on appearing trustworthy to others, but on becoming the kind of person who does not need to question their own reliability. This idea remains just as relevant today. In a world filled with distractions and fleeting commitments, it's easy to set intentions without following through, to make promises that are quickly forgotten. Yet the Stoics remind us that true confidence does not come from external praise or recognition, but from the steady, disciplined practice of aligning actions with principles. Trust is not a claim to be made, it is a foundation to be built, through decisions made when no one is watching, through effort sustained even when motivation fades. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself daily that self-discipline was not about control, but about consistency, about proving to oneself, again and again, that intentions are matched with action. Seneca encouraged a life where commitments, no matter how small, were honored, knowing that each fulfilled promise strengthens character. Epictetus understood that external circumstances will always shift, but the ability to trust in one's own actions remains the only true source of stability. The Stoics did not view trust as something to be demanded, but as something to be cultivated. They recognized that true self-respect is built not through perfection, but through persistence. Each day presents an opportunity to reinforce this foundation, not through grand declarations, but through quiet, deliberate choices. And in these choices, one becomes the kind of person they themselves can rely upon, creating a steadiness that no external force can take away. The Stoics did not promise an easy path, nor did they offer a formula for eliminating struggle. What they provided was something far more valuable, a way of seeing, a way of engaging with life that is rooted in clarity rather than illusion, in responsibility rather than reliance, in action rather than hesitation. They understood that mastery of the mind is not about achieving perfect control, but about cultivating awareness, shaping perception, and aligning action with principle. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself that external events will always be uncertain, but the ability to meet them with steadiness remains within reach. Seneca observed how easily people drift through life, waiting for change to arrive, rather than creating it themselves. Epictetus, with unwavering clarity, saw that freedom is not granted by the world, but earned through self-discipline and thoughtful response. Each of them, in their own way, recognize that life does not owe us certainty, fairness, or ease, but it does offer us the opportunity, in every moment, to choose how we engage with what is before us. The mind, if left unexamined, dictates experience rather than refines it. Fear becomes a guide instead of an obstacle when met with understanding. Doubt loses its hold when action is taken despite its presence. Complaints dissolve when attention shifts from what is lacking to what can be done. Trust in oneself is not something granted, but something built through consistency, through discipline, through the daily practice of aligning thoughts, words, and actions. The Stoics did not seek a life free from hardship. They sought to cultivate the strength to move through it without being diminished by it. Their wisdom is not a call to detachment, nor a denial of emotion. It is an invitation to live fully, with presence, resilience, and an unwavering commitment to what is within our control. And so, The question is never whether challenges will arise. They will. The real question is how we will meet them. In that answer lies the difference between being shaped by circumstances and shaping ourselves within them. The path is never free of obstacles, but for those willing to engage with it, every challenge becomes an opportunity to refine the mind, strengthen the character, and create a life guided by intention rather than reaction. The work is never finished, but neither is the potential for growth. And in that space, between what happens and how we respond, lies the only true freedom there is.